Let's have a quick word of prayer and then we will go right into it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for placing us in Christian education to help others. Bless during this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's my goal in this session to look at the job of a testing coordinator, why we test in the first place. We'll obviously look at the AACS testing program, how to order tests effectively, how to get your scores and results. We'll look at some helpful websites and we'll conclude, and we'll do that by 3 o'clock. Think we can do it? Let's go through. Somebody at your school needs to be overseeing the testing at your school. My first day of teacher in service at the first school I ministered at, I was in a fairly large school in the Chicago area, and within the first 5 minutes of teacher in service, the principal said, "How many of you want Gary to oversee our testing program?" And every hand except one in the room went up. And so I became the de facto test. I had never administered a test before. I was teaching out of field. Does that ever happen in Christian schools? At least I was an education major, but I was a secondary ed and I was teaching a 5-6 combo, 29 students with no classroom. Figure that one out. No chalkboard, no classroom, no bulletin boards, and that was the good thing. But somebody has to oversee it. Now, it could be one person, usually is. In large settings, it could be more than one. It could be a volunteer, one of your parents, a former teacher or something. It could be a paid staff member, and this is just one of those extra things that they do. But whoever it is, that person is the main contact between the school and my office as far as testing goes. And they need to make sure it runs well. Somebody, for example, needs to know which grade levels are being tested. Now, the norm is to test all grade levels from kindergarten through 11th. Sometimes 12th graders don't take the test. Each of the different grade levels, we test about 4,500 to 5,000 students. Seniors, we test only about 1,000 students each year. And I can understand that they're doing ACT and all that senior stuff. But somebody needs to decide, and you may say, "Well, I'm just the testing coordinator. I don't make those decisions." I understand that. But your job then is to pester the person who does have the authority to make that decision and find out which grade level are we testing? Which test are we using? Are we going to use the practice test? Is it going to be online or paper pencil, which usually paper pencil? But you need to know, somebody needs to know the deadlines. And that person, they have different titles, but probably the testing coordinator needs to know all this. When to order the test, don't miss the deadline. The dates, the deadlines need to go on the school calendar of when you're going to test your students, because as you know, nobody will ever be absent during the week or so that you're giving achievement tests. People, they plan their illnesses other times and nobody is ever absent during that time. I did have one school say, "If they're absent, they're absent. We don't make up sessions." Now, if that's your policy, I don't mean to make fun of it, but personally, I think it's a bit unreasonable because you want to get an accurate picture of how your students are doing, and if you don't have all your students in that mix, you don't get that picture. But somebody needs to make up that decision. And the testing schedule, elementary teachers, they are masters of their domain. They are able to rule over their students and set up their own schedule. But if you have students going from different teachers, secondary students, maybe middle school, I do understand it's difficult to do that. But you just carve out a schedule that works for you. You need to train your teachers. And the Iowa is not the Stanford. There are major differences between the two tests. And just because they're used to doing it that way doesn't mean it's the same way here. So somebody needs to train. Somebody needs to return the materials to our office. That very first year, we have 5 schools send their materials to Chicago rather than to Chattanooga. Now, Chicago starts with CH and Chattanooga starts with CH, so maybe they got confused. But any guesses why they sent it to Chicago instead of Chattanooga? Because for all those years with Pearson, tests were sent back to the test publisher. And with Iowa, the test publisher is in the Chicago area. So they just did it the way we've always done it before, rather than what the printed instructions say. But you need to. But don't send everything back to us. Here's a list of what we need to get and a list of what we should not get. You bought the test, they're yours. If they're reusable, keep them and use them the next year. You don't need to send your, you're not renting the test booklets from us, you purchase them from us. Unfortunately, what many schools will do is they will keep the box that the test came in so they can reuse that box to ship it back to the AACS, which in most cases is okay if the box comes to you. Now, we use new boxes when we ship them to you, but sometimes they get beat up along the way. And if the box is not good, come up with some other way. Copy paper boxes, you know, that those 10 reams come in, those are not meant to ship. Use a strong, sturdy box, properly sealed. If there's dead space in there, shame if you use those peanuts. Don't use the little bits of styrofoam. They'll end up going through our scanners and they mess things up. We had one box, and how they got glitter inside their box of testing material, I still am trying to figure that one out. But we had to shake all the answer. We had piles of glitter down there. And so keep it clean, but use a strong, sturdy box. This school, the box broke open during shipment. Answer folders were anywhere from between California and here and the East Coast. They never found them all. I mean, we scanned what we could, what ended up coming to us, but make sure you go through all that time of getting the tests, administering, stacking them just right, putting them in a box, and then it breaks open because there was this much dead space and no crunched paper or bubble wrap was put in there, and the box just breaks open. And this is not a good thing. Why do you test in the first place? Well, because we've always done it, and that's the reason. One reason perhaps could be that you're going to evaluate the instruction in your school, and that is a legitimate purpose of testing. You want to see, are your students growing, academically speaking? Yes, we're concerned about their spiritual well-being and their health and everything else, but you have a school, and there is an academic side to a school. That's kind of like part of it, the whole thing. And are your students making progress? And yes, because, you know, last year in their report card, they got a B+, and this year they got an A-, and that's improvement. No, that means nothing. That means that you don't use report card grades to measure progress in that way. And so you measure. And by the way, in a health perspective, And mostly men here, men, we don't go to the doctors for our annual checkup very often. But if you have a health issue, would it be caught more than likely if you did go every year? Yeah. If you have an educational problem with the student, would it be caught if you tested every year? Probably so. And I know, you know, some schools will only test every other year or every third year or every fourth year. It costs money. But do you have sports only every other year? We're cutting back. We only have basketball every 3 years. I don't think so. I mean, in an academic setting, I suggest you test every year. And you're going to measure what academic goals does your school have? Finishing the book should not be at the top of your academic goal for a classroom, but you should have some academic goals. Are you meeting those goals? You are? How do you know? Testing might be one way to understand that. As part of the testing process, you might identify a student that needs some help. And then, you can try and get the help to that student. You might use the test to make placement decisions. You could give maybe the reading and the math for incoming students if they haven't come to you with some other test results fairly recently. You can make comparison. How do our kids compare to the national norms? How do our kids compare with other Christian school kids in the AACS? You can use test scores for that. You can evaluate. We just added this new program. We just changed our curriculum and we're doing it all differently. And, well, is that effective? You can find out. Accountability is one good reason to test. All these things together. Are not all the kids will go to college. My guess is that probably a lot of them do each year in our schools. Are they ready? You can use the Iowa test to see if they're ready. And that's by using the ACT and SAT predictor scores. These show up on the list of student scores and an individual performance profile report. It will show as a range of a score in grades 8 through 11. And you can see it right there. This slide shows the differences between the old program and the new. And I mentioned this before, and we weren't sure how many. I mean, we needed to order tests that very first year. So when schools order from us, we have something to ship to them. We thought, well, how much should we order? We've never done this before. How many schools are, it's not that we control all the schools in the AACS. This is what you're going to do. It's you do it if you want to. Now, we suggest it and urge and everything, but we weren't sure. Well, the number of schools that first year outpaced our guess. And when we had our schools order by November 1st, because our contract with Riverside was that we had to place our order by December 1st. So we wanted to have an idea of what to order. And when that first order came in, it was a semi-truck filled with pallets, with boxes. It almost filled up the building where we were. It was like a maze with all the boxes, and we had to unpack them all and everything. These are the tests. This is a very helpful slide so you can know which test to give at which level. And when you order, you can order single copies, groups of 5, and then it's a little bit less per copy, or groups of 25. If you order groups of 25, it's a little bit less per booklet, and you also get one free copy of the whatever directions booklet that you're ordering. We're using the Form E. Every book has a different color. Kindergarten is green, and notice on the color for Iowa covers the whole booklet. If this was a COGAT booklet for 5-6, it would only be green halfway down. So you can very easily tell when they're on your shelf if it's a COGAT or an Iowa booklet. If the color goes all the way down, it's Iowa. Otherwise, it's a COGAT book. Kindergarten, first and second, they use consumable booklets. You order them every year. If you only need 4 this year, I would order 5 because you're going to use it next year. Some kid will spill his juice on the booklet and you need an extra booklet, and there are less money that way as well. Third grade and above uses an answer folder, and third grade and above, the booklet is reusable. As long as the student didn't mark in it, which they're not supposed to, but as long as it's usable, keep on using them until we switch booklets. COGAT, notice, see how the color doesn't go all the way down? There it does, there it doesn't. Same type thing. If it's and COGAT is Form 7, whereas Iowa is Form E. When we upgrade, we will go to Iowa Form G and COGAT Form 8. You order directly from our office, now is the time to do it. If you order after November 1st, you can still order, but there's a 3% charge added to that. You do not need to pay in advance, just fill out the form. The last page of the order form has my email, has the fax number, has the mailing address, however you want to. Most come by email, which I would prefer. It comes out more clear than coming through the fax machine. And then if it comes by email, I'll respond back saying, I got it, thanks for your order, and it rest assured. I had one school, they emailed it, they faxed it, same form. They sent it all three ways because all three were listed. And I, at first, why are they sending in three different orders? But it was all the one. You're ordering in the fall, but you're testing in the spring. Now, are you going to get the number of students you have now? Is that going to be the same number that you test? So plan ahead. You might have a family that comes in January. Well, you'll need more material for them. So anticipate that as best as you can. Order some extras just in case. Before November 1st, in bulk, and I look on the order form, and I see one school ordered 10 single copies of an answer folder. I cross that off and put one 10-pack. They get the same, but it's less money. One school ordered five packs of a test booklet. Well, I crossed it off and put one 25-pack. It saved them money, plus they got a directions booklet along with that, plus the shipping was less because shipping is based on the total of the order. So look, order in bulk, so to speak. Leftover from last year, if there is, go ahead and use that. You need to know that. Don't forget everything that you need. Practice tests, most of our schools use the Iowa practice test. We actually sell them by the thousands people will use, and I think it's a good thing, especially for the younger students that might not have tested before. There will be a second order form that we will send to you when we send your testing materials. That's the scoring order form. You have the test materials order form to get your materials. Later on, you have the scoring order form, and that will be sent by us to you. When you're sending your materials back, send them all at one time. If they all fit in one box, that's fine. If they fit, especially the test booklets, if they fit in multiple boxes, that's fine, but label them box one of two. And on the slide here, I said clean. Now, let me get to the page I wanted to get to. May 15th, the first year I didn't put a deadline of when things need to be back to us. I figured, why would you need to put a deadline? You want to get rid of those answer folders as soon as possible, and they'll come to us. And that was not the case. All things end up in the youth pastor's office in his closet. And that's, my wife was the youth pastor's secretary at two different churches, and it was interesting. Hope I'm not stepping on toes here, but that person thought this person had sent everything in, that person thought the other one, they were, and it was in the youth pastor's office. That happened three times in one year. But so now we have a deadline, and it's May 15th. Excluded students. You may test a student, but you do not want to include that student in the group scores for your test. Why would you do that? Why would you test a student but not want to include that student in the averages for that grade level? Yes. Because you've identified that student as having some special academic needs. You want them to be tested, but because of their special needs, or maybe their test is being administered in a non-standard way, you don't need to call me and explain and give me your rationale. All you need, it could also be, maybe there's a homeschool family in the church or the community, and as a service for a fee perhaps, you're allowing them to come in, test alongside the Christian school kids, but you don't want their scores obviously mixed in with your scores. So those are excluded students. All you have to do, at the bottom of the answer folder, there's these office use only section. These bubbles all have something on. The very first one on the left has the letter Z. If you darken the Z bubble for that student, that will identify that student as somebody that you want to exclude from group scores. That's all you need to do. One bubble. That's it. You don't need to sort them separately or do anything else. You don't need to tell me in advance. Just darken the ones. They'll still get an individual report, but their scores will be excluded. Let's say it's a That's fifth grade. Fifth grade is red answer folders. So that student would not be included in the fifth grade summary. Because they're, now, if you print your own reports and you're going to print a group report from Data Manager, there will be one line that says students coded in office use. Students coded in office use. The default setting is to include them. And if you darken any Z bubbles on these kids, you want to change that default setting to exclude them, because then this just identifies them. You want to make sure the setting for your group reports is changed from include to exclude, so they actually will be excluded. And that makes sense, right? Okay? Excluded students. You don't need a separate class ID sheet. Just keep them in with the rest of the students. Nothing else needs to be done. Now, this is an answer folder. And these sections here, the yellow ones, you don't need to fill in. Just their last name, their first name, their ID number, I just made one up, their birthday, their gender, and the form of the Iowa, either E, F, or G. None of these other ones. Notice all these columns right here in the last name, I did not fill in the blank oval at the top. The directions say you need to do that, but I found it scans perfectly fine without it, and my preference would be not to do it, because all that extra graphite might smear and it might change things. So if they have a short first name, just put in their last name and leave everything blank. Okay? This box right here, I think this is the one about their race or ethnicity. That's not required from our program. If you want to identify your students that way for whatever reason, you can, but that's not something that we ask you to do. The answer folder is a 4-page answer folder. And question? No? Okay. You darken the COGAT. Even if your students didn't take the COGAT test, you have to identify which level test they would have taken if they did, because it's a combined answer folder. Now, it's hard to see the difference between those two. What happens many times is, let's say this is their 2-page answer folder, and they open it up. They have all these bubbles filled out. They open it up, they fold it over, and then they smooth it out so it's all nice and ready, all of which is against what the teacher just said, which says don't fold your answer folder. That's in the printed directions. But they do anyway, maybe the desk is small. And so they fold over. What happens when you fold one page of the answer folder over on top of the other page? What could happen is some of the graphite from this page gets transferred to the other page. And it doesn't take much. And the two things up there, if you look carefully, there's all kinds of bubbles over here that got just a little bit of graphite on them when the page was folded over, that when that document gets scanned, the name gets changed to something that doesn't even look like it is correct at all. Or if there's too many errors, rather than actually printing the name, the word unknown will show up. And that first year, we had reports for a lot of students who were unknown, first name, last name, because they folded their paper over and they marked those bubbles real well with their pencil, and then they folded over, and when they opened it up, some of the graphite got changed in. And I'm wondering, could that change answers? It could. Yes, sir.
Sometimes with the small desks, they'll just end up doing that. But yeah. I've been careful to, especially this last year, to give them a piece of typing paper.
Exactly.
Put it in there. And then, at the end, when they finish and they turn it in,
you take those papers out, right?
Yes, but I'm also checking the whole sheet to make sure that, hey, wait a minute, we got some little ghosts, they call them ghosts.
Yep, that's
and
the word.
Send them back to their desk with an eraser and just
exactly, right.
Clean them up. So.
Yeah, that's you know, I realize that the desks that they're using, especially secondary students, they might not be large, so if they're going to fold their paper over, get a supply the blank sheet of paper, copy paper or something, to be in there to pick up any extra graphite that might be there. Because you want the results to be accurate. So, at the top of all your piles, you have what's called the building ID sheet. One of these has to be completed. Underneath that, you have a class ID sheet, which identifies each grade or class. You can put in this column the name of the teacher. You could just put grade one or first grade or Mrs. Johnson. It's really up to you how you want to identify that class, but you put down the grade level here. This is not used, and we send an instruction sheet along with this when we send the test materials, but you darken it in, and once we scan everything, we upload it to the Data Manager website. You can log in, or we can print, and there's all kinds of reports. We went over this. You can print individual reports. You can print group reports. Which ones? It depends. If you're giving a presentation to your school board or deacon board or however it is at your school, you probably would not print reports with individual student names on it, but you may print a summary of each grade level, perhaps. If you're sending home reports to parents, then you don't need a summary. You need a student report only. Now, a teacher probably should have a list of all their students with the scores of how they're doing. The list of student scores report would be a good one for that. So it really depends which group that you're doing it for. Should the kids know how they did? I think so. No, it depends on the grade level, but you might want to group scores. It could be a group profile, or it could be a roster report where it lists each member of the group. And there's no right or wrong in that. Reports, you decide. Testing labels, that was a feature of the old test program. You can print them from Data Manager, but it's very time. There's a lot of time to print those out. What scores should you include? Depends what report you're printing and who's going to read it. These are the more common ones, but it really depends.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Is it relatively easy to send parent their child's report via email instead of copying it out?
No. That's the simple answer. Could it be done? Perhaps, but it's a whole lot easier just to do the paper copies and send them. And many times you're sending other things home at the end of the year and you put it all in one package and just send it that way. Three websites. One is the AACS. Anything about the testing, you log in first, and then strangely enough, after you log in, it's under this second school login, there's a drop-down window, it'll say achievement test. You click there and everything that you ever wanted to know is about the testing program. It is the go-to place. All of our stuff is there. You do need your school's password to log in. The Data Manager website is what we've been talking about. That's where you get all of this information. You print reports. They're listed there as a PDF. You can print them off. The COGAT.com website, we mentioned this before, when you print a report, a student will have a student profile score. You go to the COGAT.com website, there's no password, no login, no fee, no way to enter a name, it's not private info. All you do is take that student's profile score, plug it in, and you get information about how a student with that score learns. And what are some instructional strategies? Very helpful. This is a sample of a COGAT report, and where the arrow is showing, that's where the score, the profile score is indicated. It's also over on the far right column. You plug it in, and it will tell you all this information about that student. So let your parents and your teachers go to COGAT.com. Don't go to the AACS site if you want to print reports. You go to the data manager site to print reports. These are some common errors that schools make. They return their test, but they don't put the scoring order form, so we don't know if they're going to print reports or if we're going to, and if we're going to, which package. So what we have to do is put that order aside on the trouble shelf. It's like standing in the, it's our equivalent of standing in the corner. So we put your bin aside, and then we had to call your school, and we call your school, and nobody answers. It goes to voicemail. I'm sorry, there's no longer, the voicemail is full. Or, thank you for calling. Your call is valuable to us. Our church services are, and I go through, a 15-minute commercial about your ministry, which I don't mind listening to if I had the time, but all because someone didn't send us the right form so we can process your things. I'm not bitter, am I? Hope I'm not coming across that way. Student numbers, they're missing, or we don't have student numbers. Well, do you want your test score? They need to have student numbers on it. Well, we don't have them. So, well, let me tell you how you can get them. And we go, missing birth dates, they bubbled. Is he John? Jonathan? J-O-N? J-O-H-N? Johnny? Jay? These kids change it. It needs to be the same name from year to year. And sometimes if a student has a hyphenated last name, and next year one of the two is not there, and even if it's the same ID number, the program thinks it's two different students, and it generates an error. So if it were me, I would keep an Excel spreadsheet, first name, last name, and their student number, and make it consistent year to year. And we email information to the schools, but sometimes it doesn't always end up. Okay, if we sell test materials to a school and they don't come back to us, and we wait and we wait, we'll call the school. You were just checking. These are some answers that we got. So we're calling a school where we haven't gotten their answer documents back. And that's what they told us. School number two said, thanks for checking. And of course, the locked closet, that was in the youth pastor's office. School number three, she was kind of angry that I called, or when my wife called. And we sent it. What do you mean you don't have them? We sent them to Chicago 3 weeks ago. Well, that's the issue right there. Okay, so the school's testing coordinator is the effective one. Now, we are in the process of building a new building. This will be the first time the AACS has had its own building. It's not a huge building. It's about 3,500 square feet. But for the last 10 years, the national office of the AACS has been in Chattanooga. Before that, it was in Kansas City. And I was actually in that same ministry in Kansas City when the headquarters was there. But when we were in Chattanooga, we were renting space in the Tennessee Association of Christian Schools building. They owned the building. It was a ground level and then two floors. And we rented space from the Tennessee Association. But when we added the testing program, we really needed twice as much space. And they didn't have it. And some of it was downstairs, and there were water seepage issues, and some of it was upstairs. So we really thought, it's kind of like renting an apartment or owning your own house. In the long run, owning your own house. And so we put together plans, and we will, the site work is done. The foundation is probably being laid this coming week. And then the walls start going up. There's information on our website about that as well. So stop by and see us sometime if you're in that part of the world. But hopefully, now when we do that, don't send it to our old office. I mean, we've sent out information. We still have people sending us checks or things to the address in where the Tennessee Association office is, even though we moved out of there a year ago, August of 18. They didn't update their information. So we will update it again. Currently we're at 6170, but we will, the new street will be Jenkins Road. It's still in Chattanooga. It's just closer to my house, actually. So that's nice. And it's kind of right between my house and Jeff Walton's house, who's the executive director. The building somehow ended up kind of right between our two houses. So hopefully it's been helpful. And I want you to have my contact information, because really, if there's anything I can do to help the testing at your school go smoother, I will do it. I talk with people on the phone all the time. This thing's not working. You know, instead of banging your computer, just give me a call and we'll walk you through the system. We'll get you logged in, change a setting if we need to, and we'll get it worked out for you.